Your Bibles, please, for our first reading, to Psalm 119, verse 1. Psalm 119, verse 1, hear now, the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Aleph. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the way of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes! Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Beth. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to Thy word? With my whole heart have I sought Thee, O let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. Gimel. Deal bountifully with Thy servant, that I may live and keep Thy word. Open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not Thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto Thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from Thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept Thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but Thy servant did meditate in Thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Well, for some of you, this will be a repetition of things you already know, but let's go ahead and do an introduction to Psalm 119. First of all, it is the longest section in the Scripture, 176 verses. Of course, that's not an accidental designation, those 176 verses. They are 22 times 8. There are 8 verses in each section of the Hebrew alphabet, and so we move 22 times in sections of 8 verses, or octstics, as they're called in poetic language. And so you have 8 verses times 22, 176 verses. You heard me say Aleph, Beth, and Gimel. Those are the first 3 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, which are the titles over the first 3 sections that we read, each 8 verses long. And in each of those 8 verses, for instance, in 119, 1 through 8, all 8 verses, the first word in each verse begins with the letter Aleph. In the second section, all 8 verses begin with the letter Bet. And in the third section, all 8 verses begin with the letter Gimel. Okay? So Alpha, Beta, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, He, Vav, Zion, and so on throughout the Hebrew alphabet all the way to the end and in each you have 8 verses, and in each of those 8 verses, the first word in each verse begins with the letter of its own section. So it's a book that is made for singing and memory, in other words, to the Hebrew speaker, as he would know that the next verse begins with this particular letter and so on. It is a book all about the commandments of God. Law, commandment, testimony, precept, word, way, statute, judgment, truth, faithfulness, righteousness, and fear. Those 12 designations of the law, commandments, statutes, etc. of God are replete throughout Psalm 119. As a matter of fact, by my own reckoning, and I did this the last time we went through the Psalter here, all but 3 verses of the 176 have a designation to the law, statute, testimony, judgment, whatever, regarding the law of God. Every verse, except for 3 in Psalm 119, speak to the law of God in one way or another. So you might then understand Psalm 119 to be a psalm that speaks very largely to the advantages of knowing and keeping the very law of God. It's an obvious design of the psalmist. Now, the psalm is an orphan psalm. Most godly divines would ascribe it to David. I would agree that it's probably Davidic, although you cannot be dogmatic on it because we don't have a name, simply. You know, as I said to a friend of mine the other day who asked me, who do you think wrote the book of Hebrews? I said, well, I can tell you for a fact, without controversy, that Paul wrote Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Philemon. I can tell you without controversy that Paul wrote every one of those books. And for the same reason, I cannot tell you that he wrote the book of Hebrews. Same thing is true here. I have my opinion, but that's all it is. It's an opinion, and the opinion is that David wrote it. David had such a wonderful appreciation for the law of God, as we see in the rest of the Davidic Psalms. It would not surprise me at all to learn one day, dogmatically speaking, that David wrote Psalm 119. Notice also, as the Psalter begins with the word blessed, so Psalm 119 begins with blessed also. As I told you earlier, if Luther was correct, and I believe he was, when he said that the Psalter was like a little Bible, we would be right in saying that Psalm 119 is like a little Psalter. Okay? All right, so there is a promised blessing then in the first section. A promised blessing on upon those who walk in the way of the Lord, those who keep His testimonies, those who seek Him with their whole heart. And notice that there is an objective and a subjective referent here. Objectively, it's the Word of God. Subjectively, it's the whole heart. That is, that in order to seek God, we seek Him objectively by obeying Him, but subjectively, that's the statement of the heart in doing so. And my dear brothers and sisters, I hope you understand that biblically speaking, while we do talk about heart religion and outward religion, and that hypocrisy is indeed a real thing, that the Bible so very clearly brings together true heart religion and godly behavior, that we ought not to separate those things in our own thinking. So the psalmist realizes that he does not have the strength himself to keep the commandments of the Lord, and so he bewails his weakness and inability, and he craves strength from the Lord to do what the Lord himself has commanded. He asks for mercy, not to be forsaken. And he has a strong hope of his own sanctification when he says, when I shall learn, or when I shall have respect to all thy commandments. There's a confident expectation of advancement in obedience and holiness on the part of the psalmist in the first section. So he recognizes it's not within himself. Listen to what he says. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Right? I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. And so he sees himself as the subject of God's grace pressing upon him and granting him that largeness of heart and that greater obedience that he craves. That's the first section. The second section, notice once again the worshiper is driven to the Word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. It is not in the study of philosophy. It is not in the study of science. It is not in the study of math. It is not in any of those or a myriad of other studies that the young man and the young lady will cleanse their way. They will cleanse their way by taking heed to the Word of God. Over and again, the psalmist is going to make the Word of God the focal point of our attention, of our affection, for the use of our sanctification, for our following the Lord, for our love to Him as an expression of our love to Him, and so on. And so the Word of God does indeed take up the central point of this entire psalm. Now notice verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Notice, whole heart, wholehearted religion and obedient religion are one and the same thing, according to the psalmist. It is only in the modern sense of Christianity that we have bifurcated, right, between the inward and the outward. We've said, you know, that you can be sincere and that's all that God requires. No, you can be sincerely wrong as a Christian, can't you? So let me not wander from thy commandments, and that is the expression of my whole heart. Children, you guys like to memorize Scripture? I know some of you are doing that right now. Some of you are memorizing the catechism. And in memorizing the catechism, you are memorizing Scripture doctrine. You know why you do that? Verse 11. What does it say? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Bible memorization, according to the psalmist here, if it's rightly undertaken, right? And remember, this comes right after seeking God with our whole hearts. If it's taken up with the right heart, Bible memory work keeps us from sinning against God. Well, what a great advantage we have then when we are memorizing Scripture and Catechism. So, I will tell you that one of the highlights of my week is hearing all of you kids and adults too recite what you're learning, what you're memorizing. Keep up the good work, because this will help you in your desire to obey the Lord. Notice also that the psalmist has a great desire. Teach me thy statutes, right? In verse 12. Then notice, with my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. And so this is a multiple step process. He memorizes Scripture. Okay? And then what? And then he says, I'm coming with my whole heart. And then what? Then he says, teach me thy statutes. And then he says what? Well, all of this comes out of his mouth at that point. You see, it comes in from the Lord. It goes into the heart. It is processed in the heart. The heart is turned toward God. And then the lips speak God's praise. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. So God begins to work in the heart, and then notice it comes flowing out of our mouths. What does Jesus say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I will meditate in thy precepts, notice, verse 15, and have respect unto thy ways, not my ways, thy ways, and I will delight myself in thy statutes, which keeps with verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. And so what do we see about the law of God for the Christian? That it's something that brings us joy. It's something that brings us pleasure. Obedience, after our hearts are turned to the Lord, is the best thing, we think, and we want to pursue it. All right, so that's Beth. Now we look at Gimel. And so notice that Gimel starts with a prayer. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and get a new car. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that. That's right. No, it doesn't say that. Deal bountifully with thy servant so that I can have a new set of clothes. Deal bountifully with thy servant so I can do what? Keep thy word. That's what God's bounty looks like. When God is being rich toward you, when God is being bountiful toward you, how does it work out? It works out in obedience. That's the sign of God's bounty, isn't it? Is that what he says? That's exactly what he says. So the sign of God's bounty then is that we may live and keep God's word. And so in keeping with that then, the psalmist asks the Lord to open his eyes. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. What do you think the psalmist's attitude is toward the world? He says, I'm a stranger in the earth. I'm a stranger in the earth. This world has nothing for me. And well, after all this talk of loving God's law, speaking God's law, memorizing God's law, having his heart inclined towards God, toward God's law, what do you think he's going to say with regard to the world? Well, that's exactly what he says. He says, I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. And then we see the great grief that he has when he doesn't know. Listen to what he says. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath at all times, or unto thy judgments at all times. The breaking of his soul, we will see in other places in Psalm 119 where it says, rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law, thy commandments. When he sees disobedience in himself, when he sees disobedience in others, the longing that he has toward obedience and to see obedience of God's commands, it breaks his soul. There's such a strong affection for God's morality. May I say that this is an attitude that is very rare among Christians, ourselves included. This is the kind of attitude that we want toward God's law, that our soul breaks when we see God's commandments suffer in this world. All right, so then there's the rebuke of the proud, which do err from thy commands. That's what God brings. And notice, those that err from God's commands, how are they styled here? As the proud. It's the humble that obey and the proud that disobey. And so we ask the Lord for humility, don't we? Remove reproach and contempt from me, for I have kept thy testimonies. So we talk about persecution that comes because of obedience. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. They are my delight and my counselors. And that's how the third ends. And so what have we seen here? We have seen what it looks like to have the religion of Christ deeply ensconced in your heart. If it's deeply ensconced in your heart, you'll have a particular mindset toward God's commandments. You'll have a particular mindset toward this world. You'll have a particular mindset toward reproach and persecution. You'll also have a particular mindset to your own shortcomings and your own griefs. You'll also learn to be humble in God's sight. So, what we're going to see all the way through Psalm 119 are these same kinds of attitudes, as the psalmist will speak to us about his own heart by way of example to our hearts, about his own behavior by way of example to our behavior, when he speaks about persecution, when he speaks about reproach, when he speaks about disappointment in our own sins and the sins of others. What we're going to see here in Psalm 119 is this enlarged and great heart toward God and toward all his commandments. That's what it means to love the Lord. It means to love his word and to love his commandments as well. I think I've told you before that when Joanna and I lived back in California, we had a lady that lived across the street that was involved in some wicked, wicked stuff. And she sat in our living room one night and looked us dead in the eye and told us how she loved the Lord. "I just love him. Oh, you can't know how much I love him," while she was involved in these wicked, wicked things. Beloved, we rightly say that that is not possible. It's just not possible. The psalmist tells us what our hearts and our actions will be like if we love the Lord. And we want to draw those together more and more. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.